First of all, I want to really thank the ARI, the Asian American and Asian Research Institute of CUNY, for hosting this event that allowed me to share my study on Asian American social workers, career stress, and also well-being. I'm so glad to be here, and it's really my honor to be here. And I'm so glad that many of us actually made it, you know, to attend this event, so that I think that we can spend some time and share, you know, some of our observation, our experience, particularly if you are, you know, working with the Asian American populations, about the need to have more social workers and also mental health and health professionals that we can serve the populations more. If my presentation convince you that we need more and more social workers, I bring in a lot of the program folders, the blue in color, just outside at the registration desk, that contained information about Touro College Graduate School of Social Work. I contained program information about the courses, about the field education, and also the availability of the scholarship opportunities. The agenda is that we need more social workers. So if you are convinced after the presentation that we need more social workers, if you have known any individual with a bachelor degree that you think that they can that they're interested, they want to end, to join the profession, social work, whether they want to come to Touro or not, I hope that you can pass the folder to that individual so that they can consider joining the profession, because I think it's so important that we need more and more social workers. Why particularly I'm doing this particular study? A little about my background. Before I became a full-time social work educator in 2007, I have worked in the field for almost 20 years, since 1989. I work in both health and mental health setting as a clinical social worker, and then becoming a supervisor, administrator, for almost 10 years, you know, in a clinical mental health setting. And then I work in a health setting, in a community health setting, for another 8 to 10 years as a health education administrator. And all my years of practice, I recognize the tremendous gap in terms of having more and more social workers. When I was a social worker back then in 1990, I have to see many, many patients because we don't have enough social workers. And being a bilingual social worker, meaning you can speak more than other than English, right? That you can speak more than, you know, one particular other languages, also meaning that you have more work to do. If you work in Belleville, in Gouverneur, or in other health or mental health settings, you are under tremendous stress in terms of working with the population. So I see the gap there, because we have a long waiting list, and we have so many clients, so many patients to see, correct? I think I'm sure that many, you know, in the audience, that you would agree with this argument, saying that we need more and more social workers, correct? Even though we are able to get more funding to expand the program, but then we have a hard time to fill the position. If you're fortunate to get the social worker, meaning the social worker actually moved from another agency to your program, that means the other agency have a gap in terms of filling that position. So that becomes a major issue that we have faced, you know, in the field. And then after 2007, and then I got my doctoral degree in social welfare, I said to myself, okay, let me go to the teaching institution and see what I can do, as, you know, because of my background as a Chinese American. I hope that I can teach and I can recruit and I can train more and more Asian American social workers, with a lot of disappointment, not able to do so. I have taught at Hunter College, at Silverman School of Social Work at Hunter College, for 7 years, from 2007 to 2014. I have a few graduates, you know, that I still maintain a lot of contact, you know, with after your graduation, about 4%. at Hunter College, 4% of graduates, that they are Asian Americans. And then since 2014, I have taught at the Touro College for the last 5 years, only about 2 to 4%. So the gap is there. So I hope that with this study, I'm going to share with you about some of my finding about the phenomenon. And then, you know, hopefully, I think after the presentation, we will have a lot of time for Q&A, and I want to hear from you about your observation, your suggestions, your feedback about what we can do to work together to get more and more social workers or mental health professionals to serve the population. So according to the Council of Social Work Education in 2017, 3% of master's degree and about 1.9% of bachelor's degree in social work graduates in 2016, that they were Asian Americans or other Asians. This race were much lower that when compared with the percentage of Asian Americans in the United States. We're talking about 6.4%. If you think about the New York City population, we have more than 10%, 10 to 15% of New York City census population that they are Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders. You see the gap there, right? Only about what? About 3% and 2%. And I want to let you know that a lot of individuals who got their bachelor degree in social work, the majority, 80, 90%, that they will continue to get the master degree in social work. So if you think about 2%, it's likely that, you know, that we would have much fewer individuals who end up studying master degree in social work. When being asked when they first consider a social work career, 13% of Asian Americans considered before college. This rate was the lowest when compared with other race and ethnicity groups. What does that mean? Many actually have not thought about entering the social work profession before college. If we want to get them into the college and chose, for example, psychology, human services, social work, it's more likely that we're able to get more social workers to continue to study for their master's degree in social work. Because of a relatively small percentage of Asian Americans consider social work as their career before college, and a very low percentage of them graduated with either a bachelor degree or master's degree in social work, there's been a tremendous gap in recruiting and training adequate number of Asian American social work professionals to serve the population. So who actually will suffer because of a lack of Asian American social work or mental health professional? The client population, because we are not able to get enough professionals to enter into the field to serve them. I'm sure there are, how many of you actually hear that you are social workers by training? Mental health? Health? Okay. So social workers in general face numerous challenges when they have to work with highly complicated and high-risk populations. Oftentimes that they're pushed to the limit. I think you all agree that as a social worker, it's a highly rewarding profession, but also very stressful, correct? Because we feel a lot of stress when we try to complete our work with very limited resources and under less than optimum work environment. So a lot of literature actually suggests work-related stress had a lot of negative impact on the psychological and physical well-being of the professionals, including interpersonal conflicts, decreased concentration, impaired cognitive functioning, poor health and mental health, and poor self-confidence. So from the literature, a lot of social workers face a lot of stress. So what about Asian American social workers? I would tell you that they feel more stress than social workers in general, because the populations that they serve far more complicated. Working with the immigrant population, meaning what? Low income, a lot of them, with legal status, undocumented legal status, poorly educated or lowly educated. They face tremendous barriers. For those who work in the mental health field, you recognize the stigma or cultural beliefs and perceptions that they attach when they consider, you know, getting mental health services. So on top of the gap in terms of working with the populations, Asian American social workers face more stress than other social workers. Again, when I look at the literature, very limited research that focus on Asian American career experience and work-related stress. So we need to generate more understanding to recognize the nature of their stress and what their experience were, and so that we can find a way to help promote their career development and also promote and optimize their psychological and physical well-being. With that, I've done the literature search around 2015 and 2016. Again, very limited research literature. So one set of literature that look at the family influence, I always have that speculation among Asian American professionals, how likely that they will be influenced by their family. So one set of literature look at the family influence on their career development, and they look specifically at some of the variables, like, for example, the family values on career decision-making among Asian Americans. So they look at the level of altruism, which means that it's a selfless commitment that you are sacrificing yourself to optimize the well-being of the public. So that's the term altruism. They look at finding satisfaction and employment and enjoyment on your work, and continued hope for parental approval of their career choices. So that's one set of literature that look at the family influence. The other set of literature look at what? Family psychosocial history of career decisions or career choices. Essentially, they want to study about the background of these social work graduates, social work students, whether they have any family history of violence, trauma, mental illnesses, and substance abuse that might influence a person's decision to pursue a career in social work. At Turrell College, I also serve at the admission committee, so I review the applications, why they chose social work. So African-Americans, Caucasians, Hispanic, and also Asian-Americans. And many actually wrote in their statement about their family history, about their own personal history, that because of their direct experience, that they have worked with social workers or health or mental health professionals, that trigger their attention, their interest to enter into the field. I also look at their motivations, their concerns, and also career barriers. So Wong, actually in 2007, studied about the financial reward, about the level of compensation, occupational status, altruistic vision of social work, and also a very strong desire to help others. In this particular study, very interesting, actually also look at organizational barriers. Among Asian Americans, working in your own particular setting, whether you have experience any forms of discrimination, glass ceiling, and also your visibility within your organizational setting. Well, I think that is interesting because sometimes we don't recognize that in order for us to study your career experience, then you need to look at your organizational environment. That under that organizational environment, how do you perceive yourself in position with other professionals in your particular setting? There are far more literature actually look at the professional quality of life. Essentially, that they are studying compassion satisfaction, compassion fatigue, and secondary traumatic stress, particularly those who work with as a direct mental health or health practitioners, you recognize that when you work with the population, you experience a lot of traumatic stress because of your constant exposure to the trauma, violence experienced by your clients. So a lot of literature actually look at your professional quality of life, including a lot of your, for example, compassion satisfaction, fatigue, and also secondary traumatic stress. There is some additional literature. Daniel, in 2011, summarized several career-related concerns because I have found very limited research on particularly on Asian American social work or mental health professionals. So I look at ethnic minority social work professionals and students. So in this particular study, they look at burnout, they look at the inability to effect change due to agency bureaucracy, and also the negative and stereotypic perception of low-income minority clients. Another article that actually look at unresolved trauma, work stress, and limited organizational support that may create barriers in social work field to enhance professional development. So in summary, actually very limited literature. I tried so hard in terms of searching the database and look at the literature, and I look at some specific journals, like journals of organizational behavior or career, you know, and very, very limited literature that look at the career experience among Asian American social workers or mental health professionals. So with that, I have a very gigantic study agenda, and I'm going to share with you some of my study questions. I would say that because I don't know whether I have a chance to do more than one study. So I designed a very comprehensive survey. It's an online survey. It's about 17 pages long, about near to 300 survey items. It takes about 30 minutes for the participant to complete the survey, and I don't provide any incentive. I'm not sure if I received an invitation to participate in a study, whether I'll go ahead and do it. I don't know. But I'm glad that because once I announced the study, I get a lot of feedback. A lot of social workers that they said, yes, I think this is an important study, and I'm going to take the time to complete the survey in order to give information to the field. So in terms of the study focus and questions, was there a relationship between social work idealism and both altruistic reason and professional concern of choosing social work? Essentially, I'm trying to understand about their career decision-making, about, you know, in terms of why they choose social work as their profession. Definitely, I'm interested to look at the family factors. As I share with you about some of the literature, I want to look at the family influence on their career choices. I want to look at their organizational barriers. I want to look at their perception of glass ceiling. In terms of their perception of ethnic discrimination. Of course, I want to look at their perception of organizational fairness, whether that predicted perception of glass ceiling, ethnic discrimination, and also career prospects. I want to look at their overall career experience and any about their experience of work-related problems or stress, secondary trauma, compassion satisfaction, burnout, and job-related health problems. I want to look at all what factors, whether demographic factors or whether the work-related stress, will that influence, their quality of life, including whether they have experienced secondary trauma, compassion satisfaction, and also burnout. I look at all the other predictors of work-related stress. I want to find out how they manage their stress. Again, I want to look at all the other factors which may link with their work-related health problems. So you can see that I have a big research agenda. So it only took me, actually, to my surprise, it only took me about 4 months to complete the entire study, because at the end, I felt I received fewer and fewer surveys, and I said, it's time that I have to close out the study. So it took 4 months, and I got about 200 completed surveys. That they completed 17-page-long survey. As a matter of fact, some participants, they took more than an hour, because I can see the time that they spent. Although I don't know who participated, you know. It's a convenient sample. It's a snowball sampling. I did the recruitment through very extensive network of Asian American service organizations, social work schools. I reached out to a lot of their alumni associations. And I also reached out to specific population groups. I'm a Chinese American, but I know that in order to maximize the variations of their ethnicity background, I also recruit, you know, some specific ethnicity groups. And I also found, you know, during my recruitment, I looked up the internet. I found a lot of websites, South Asian, the Health Council. I found a social work association in California. Oh, they have many Asian American social workers. I have some connection with social work educators in Hawaii, in Nevada, in Florida, in Massachusetts. So I reached out to them. I said, is it possible to help to spread the message to recruit, you know, more and more participants? In terms of the measure, so that certainly include a lot of demographic information: age, gender, religion, sexual orientation, immigration status, income level. I also collect a lot of information about the career-related or agency-related variables, like, for example, professional background of the supervisor, the primary focus of the program, the timing in choosing social work, why the reasons for staying in their current position, the likelihood of the staying in their current job in the next 3 to 5 years, and the overall level of job satisfaction. Oh, I want to share with you a lot of standardized scales. If some of us are researchers and social work educators, if you want to replicate a study, by all means, you know, these scale actually allow us to study systematically about their career experience. So that includes social work idealism. Family inference scale have 4 subscales: information support, financial support, values and beliefs, family expectations. The reasons of choosing social work as career have 14 items, have 2 subscales. Later on, I'm going to talk about self-compassion scale, because I found that self-compassion is such a great factor that helps sustain us to maintain our career. The level of self-compassion in this scale actually have 6 subscales: self-kindness, self-judgment, isolation, mindfulness, over-identified, perceived glass ceiling, ethnic discrimination, organizational fairness, and also career prospects that I extracted from Wong. You know, I mentioned about his study, you know, on this particular topic. Work-related stress, you know, I created a work-related stress to look at, you know, among a list of 15 work-related problems, and I found, you know, 4 different factors, you know. Perceived stress scale, about 10 items. I mentioned about the professional quality of life, that include compassion satisfaction, burnout, and secondary trauma. So if you are clinicians, whether you are doing a research or not, if you want to know about this skill, at times, you know, a lot of practitioners and supervisors, that they administer the skill to assess your own level of, you know, satisfaction and burnout or secondary trauma. The job-related health problems are based on a list of 14 job-related problems, and then I did the factor analysis, and then broke down into two subscales. One is the psychological factors, including 6 items. And then another is the physical somatic factors. Okay. The stress management scale actually extracted from the National Association of Social Workers. They did the membership the workforce study. They list a number of strategies social workers use to manage their stress. So in this study, I adapted a lot of their strategies, and I add a few additional strategies that I found that they may be relevant by Asian American social workers. So that include some of the strategies that I list. You know, essentially the data analysis that include you know, very standard analytical techniques. I spent the entire summer. I looked at all the data. I did the descriptive analysis, bivariate analysis, multivariate analysis, factor analysis, in order to analyze all the findings. You know, so let me share with you about the participants. 208. In terms of the average age, 37. Age. From 21 to 68. In terms of the ethnicity, 82% are female. I think pretty typical, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a female-dominated profession. 16% were male. There are a few percent identified as transgender or other gender category. In terms of their ethnicity, 51% Chinese, Korean about 13.7%, Japanese 9%, Filipino 6.5%, Asian Indians, you know, 4.2%, and also about 6.5% multiracial ethnicity. The majority, 83.2%, reported that neither of their parents were born in the United States. So they came from immigrant parents. About half of participants were not born in the United States. So they are first-generation Asian American social workers. Here I think I share with you about their marital status, about their religious affiliation. The majority work full-time. About 41% employed in social work-related organizations for less than 4 years. About one quarter were employed for 5 to 9 years. And then I have 17.4% were employed for 20 years or more. Okay, so here I think I share with you about the income status. Most lived in New York, New Jersey, about 49.7%. California 17%, Hawaii 13.7%, Nevada 5.2%, and a few percent in Massachusetts. The majority had a master degree in social work. About 41% were direct practitioners. 10.8% were administrators. About 9% were supervisors, and about 1/5, 20%, that they were graduate students. So they work in a very diverse practice concentration: mental health, health and disability services, senior services, family or youth services, child welfare, child care, education and schools, domestic violence, substance abuse, and also housing. The majority were supervised by social work professionals, but still, you can see that they are about what? about 30 or 40% that they were supervised, not directly by social workers, either by human services, education, business, and also law. Okay, let's talk about the finding. First of all, I look at the bivariate, you know, correlations among a lot of variables. So I'm going to skip this, but just show you that, you know, that, you know, I look at the associations among all these variables. I look at their reasons of choosing social work as their career. Of course, I found the relationships, significant relationships, about the altruistic reasons and professional concerns, meaning that if they come with the attitude that they are sacrificing their self to serve the public, they are more likely to recognize the professional issues, you know, that impact our society. So you see the relationship. And more likely that if they have that vision in terms of sacrificing themselves, altruistic vision, they also share the social work ideals in terms of serving the populations. So those two, you know, pretty obvious in terms of the finding. But in terms of organizational fairness, career prospects, I also found a lot of relationship. The level of their perception about whether they perceive their organizations are fair in terms of treating the employees, that will relate in terms of how they perceive their career prospect, and also their ethnic discrimination, and also perceived glass ceiling. Okay. Timing and reasons for choosing social work as a career. I share with you about the literature. So in my study, the majority, about 60%, they first thought about becoming social workers during their college years. About a quarter first considered a profession while in graduate school or after. Again, only about 15.8% thought about a social work career before entering college. Again, the same finding, you know, consistent with the literature, that, you know, only about 15.8%. So later on, I think I want to get some of your feedback. What happened to our populations? Why the, but a lot of the census, a lot of statistics, look at the labor statistics. Many Asian Americans, they choose what professions? Medicine, law, business, technology. Very small percentage, they chose human professions, including psychology, social work, and human services. Only 2 to 3%. So the gap is there. And you may wonder what. And when I look at the family influence, sometimes it's ironic that later on I'm going to share with you about the family factors, about the relationship, right? But you can see that in this particular study, 56% reported that social work was their first or primary career choice, while 44% had a career change to enter social work. So social work was not their primary career when they started their career. It's only during the middle of their first career that they consider a career change. I found that altruistic reasons were very important, extremely important for these participants when they choose social work as their career. A lot of these social workers who actually told me that in the survey that because they really want to do something, they really think that they want to sacrifice about themselves in order to serve the public, and they share a lot about their professional concerns based on their own personal or professional experience. The exploratory factor, meaning growing up in a dysfunctional family and encouragement from family and friends to pursue social work, turn out to be only somewhat or moderately important for them to choose social work. So I can see the hierarchy. If I look at some of the factors, you know, altruistic reasons, you know, social work idealism, you know, more important, you know, for them as compared with other factors. So when I look at their altruistic reasons and I look at their demographic variables, I found that if I'm as I completed the multivariate analysis, the regression analysis, I found that social idealism emerged as the strongest predictor about the altruistic reason. And I look at the demographic factors, gender, age, and immigration status, the finding actually found that higher level of altruistic reason was a function of a higher level of social idealism. Being a female, older, and those who were born in the United States. And then I also look at the predictors of the professional concerns, and I found two significant predictors. One is social work idealism. The other is about self-compassion. Again, I think these are the critical factors. If I'm trying to understand about what made these individuals to choose social work as their career, then I need to look at their values, about their perception, you know. As I look at all the other predictors in terms of their perception of ethnic discrimination, to sum up from this particular slide, I pull the organizational fairness, which to me is the most critical factors, to predict in terms of their perception about ethnic discrimination, perception of glass ceiling, and also their perception of their career prospects. I found that the organizational fairness was the most powerful predictor. Meaning what? If they perceived about the organizational fairness, a low level of organizational fairness, it's more likely that they have a higher perception about ethnic discrimination. And it's also more likely that they felt that they don't have the career in terms of their prospects of the career. Okay, I mentioned about the family influence. I found statistically significant relationship between their immigration status and family structure. Those who were not born in the United States were more likely to be influenced by their family in their career choice than those who were born in the United States. So if you were not born in the United States, more likely, you know, that you would be influenced by your family in your career choice. Another key finding, there was a significant relationship between the parents' immigration status and family expectation. So those whose parents were not born in the United States were more likely to be influenced by their family expectation on their career choice than those either of their parents were born in the United States. So which meaning what? The family influence. That if you were born in the immigrant parents, not born in United States, they have a lot of expectation to you about what career that they want you to choose. And if you were not born in the United States, you are more likely to be influenced by your parents to enter into the field. I think that was something that I think we need to find some solutions. If we are able to reach the populations to encourage them to enter into the profession, maybe we need to have a conversation with their parents as well to see whether we can influence. But I mentioned about the irony. You know what? As a social worker, I have interacted with many parents, with many friends and colleagues. Oh, you know what? My elder relatives suffer from a stroke. Do you know a social worker? Could you tell me where I can find a social worker? I need to find out where I can apply for home care for my elder relatives. Another scenario, oh, you know what, Kenny, I have known someone have significant marital problems to the point that they have intense parental conflicts that have negative impact on their children. Can you get me a counselor, an Asian counselor, who can speak the language, whether Chinese or Korean, to work with them, right? Or I have a child with special needs. I have such a hard time to find the social workers. So for the past several months, I attended a lot of conferences, one on children with special needs, the other conference about health and mental health, and we all share the frustrations while we generate knowledge to help promote the services. But we don't have social workers. Now, my question, if you think it's so important to have more social workers, why don't you encourage your children to choose social work or psychology or mental health counseling as their master's degree and get a license and be a licensed family therapist to serve the population? And they don't say anything. They don't say anything. But then they will tell you, you know, right? They know that you're a social worker. They know that you're powerful. Information is power. So they want you to give me information where to find a social worker so that I know how I'm able to get the services. The reasons for staying on social work profession. Participants were asked how likely that they will stay in their current position in the next 3 to 5 years. 55.8% said very likely, somewhat likely. But what do you see the other part of the result? 44%, somewhat unlikely, or very unlikely. I hope that the finding only suggests that they are going to get a promotion in next 3 to 5 years. But I don't know. More likely that they say, oh, I'm not sure. I think I've worked in the field for so long. I want to have a career change. So they are not confident that they will continue to stay in the profession. But that becomes a significant problem, right? We start out by saying that, well, we have a hard time to recruit more and more social workers. But then among those who know who work currently in the field, we also have about 44% saying that somewhat unlikely or very unlikely that they will stay in their current position in the next 3 to 5 years. They were asked what their personal reasons if they decided that they are going to stay in their current position. I like to help the people, the majority, 98%. Enjoy working with others. So if you are an administrator, make sure that you create a friendly environment for your workers so that they can stay in their setting. Because if they enjoy working with their colleagues, they feel that they can help the people, the clients, more likely that they will stay in their position. They found their work interesting. They believe that their program is making an influence in the populations that they serve. What about salary? 70%, much lower. I would say statistically much lower than, you know, helping other people. Only 70% because of good salary and benefits, that flexible hours, you know, that they will continue to stay, you know, that they want to stay in their position.
Talking about staying in the field or staying...
Staying in their job. Yeah. Okay, another set of findings that actually I look at the social idealism, altruism, self-compassion, perceived stress, and professional quality of life. First of all, I found that the overall level of compassion satisfaction was average in this particular sample. The average score of their burnout, indicating that low to average level of burnout. And also I look at the mean score of the secondary trauma. And I also look at the subscales of their professional quality of life, and I found a relationship among some of these variables. I mentioned earlier about self-compassion. Self-compassion actually was found to significantly influence the professional quality of life among these participants. The result actually indicated that self-compassion was related positively with compassion satisfaction, but negatively with secondary trauma, burnout, perceived stress, and job-related health problems. So self-compassion, I think we need to study that, you know, self-compassion. Perceived stress, also very important in this study, as they related in terms of the overall experience of these social workers about their career. Job-related health problems was found to relate negatively with self-compassion and compassion satisfaction, and positively with perceived stress, secondary trauma, and burnout. So as I look at the secondary trauma, compassion satisfaction, and burnout, I look at the predictors. Again, you can look at there are two major areas, the positive factor, the negative factor. The positive factor is about self-compassion, that in order for them to sustain their career, that to predict their better professional quality of life as measured by the secondary trauma, compassion, satisfaction, and burnout, then yes, high level of what? Self-compassion. I don't know whether you heard about the incident. There was a director of the student counseling. Is that at one of the Ivy League? Where is it? That he committed suicide. It's a couple weeks ago. Yeah, UPenn. He was the expert in the student counseling. He was the expert in resiliency, but he committed suicide. Although, you know, because of the privacy and confidentiality, we may not know what's happening, right? But would that be personal factors? Would that be his own, maybe family or some other factors? But what about what related factors? We may never know. But I'm concerned about the level of self-compassion. Whether in the field, because you have experienced so much trauma and so much work-related stress, if you are not able to develop the perception and attitude that you really have to love yourself, the amount of empathy, compassion that you show to your clients, if you have the same amount of compassion that you can show to yourself, not to be overly critical, judgmental. We are making mistakes. We are human beings. We are doing so much, but we cannot make all the influence. If you have that perception, that helps a lot. Because sometimes we encourage people to enter into the field. They have a very high level of being altruistic, that they really want to sacrifice themselves. But on the same token, if they don't develop the attitude that they can love themselves, they are running the risk that they are lowering their quality of life. So the compassion satisfaction is so, self-compassion is so critical. The negative part is about work-related problems and stress, and work-related stress. That if they have experienced a high level of work-related stress, then it's more likely that they have much unpleasant work experience in terms of secondary trauma, compassion satisfaction, and also burnout. Again, I look at the perceived stress, I look at the job-related health problems, you know. So I can look at some other demographic factors, but I found that in order for me to look at their career experience, I found that the negative part is about what? About their work-related stress, job-related problems. The positive side will be about their self-compassion. So how they manage their stress? So first of all, that they identified several issues and trends that occurred in their program. So when I study about their work-related stress, I'm trying to see what they have experienced. So essentially what they're telling me is that among this 200 Asian American social workers, they say, well, the source of stress came from where? The use of performance measures. Your boss, your supervisor said, we need to hold you accountable. Whatever you do, you have to demonstrate your effectiveness. Performance measures, more and more indicators, more and more documentations. The increased use of technology, which means to be very stressful, particularly those who left the field for many years, then now you recognize that in order for you to survive, that your proficient use of technology is critical. The use of evidence-based or practice models. In terms of there are fewer percentage in terms of experience, agency staff, cutback, program not adequately fund, the program focus on the bottom line that compromise service quality. Okay, what strategies that they use to manage their work-related stress? Let's check and see if you have done this. Physical activity, 63%. Body, mind, and spirit approach, 57%. I don't know whether, because it's a self-administered survey, I'm not sure whether they're honest in terms of saying, well, in terms of smoking cigarettes, taking prescription drugs, or drinking alcohol, or very few use absenteeism, Okay, a few additional slides in terms of the discussion, and then we'll open up the floor for discussion. First of all, I found that altruistic reasons were very important, to extremely important, in terms of their choice of social as their career. Professional concern was moderately important to very important to their choice of social work. And also I saw the social work idealism. Consistent with the literature, I found that the significant relationship between their immigration status, their family influence on their career choice. I think it's important to look at the literature about their perception of glass ceiling, about their beliefs of an agency's organizational fairness, and also their experience of discrimination and career barriers. I can see that we have more and more literature. So with this particular study, I hope that we can add into more and more literature that look at the relationship in order for us to study about their career experience. I found that among this group of Asian social workers, they show high level of burnout associated with high level of secondary trauma and lower level of compassion satisfaction. Again, I think I share this, that in terms of their perceived stress and work-related problems, very important in terms of the relationship with their professional quality of life. Self-compassion, I think I said that earlier. So there are some limitations, in terms of, sampling, in terms of generalizability. It's a self-reported data. So at the end, what would be some of the implications for a lot of this finding? Social work is a dream career for many Asian American social workers. And I admire, their decision to choose social work as their career, because they share a very strong altruistic vision of social work and also their desire to serve the population. But with the number of social workers has grown steadily over the last decade, the low percentage of Asian American social workers, either with bachelor degree or master degree, remain a bigger concern for us. Because I show you the numbers, in terms of 15.8% thought about social work before entering into the college, and 44% reported that social work was not their first or primary career choice. So the gap is there in terms of recruiting more and more social workers. I think it's important to look at the experience of discrimination and glass ceiling as they work in their organization. In order, I think, for us to optimize their professional life, I think we need to address some of the organizational factors. Whether we create the environment for them to sustain their career. I think to enhance recruitment and retention of more Asian American practitioners, career development and professional growth opportunities for them to be reflective about their personal needs and also their values, as well as their own overall experience. I know that, for example, the New York Coalition for Asian American Mental Health, they have a wonderful young professional programs. They have monthly the seminars, support groups. So for them to learn about knowledge, about practice, also more important as an experiential the sharing about their career experience, re-examination about their vision, about their values, while they began their career, after they worked for several years, any change in terms of their vision, their values, I think that is very important. So on top of the knowledge that they need to equip to serve the population, we also have to take care of their personal needs, which include their own experience and also their values. I think the study contributed to more knowledge and understanding about family influence. Again, that is another major area that we need to study further about the family influence in terms of, you know, the reasons for choosing social work as their career, as well as their career decisions and career perceptions. No doubt, I think a lot of social workers continue to experience a lot of work-related challenges and stress. And I can tell, you know, the longer that you work in the field, more and more challenges because of all the different directions. The funders, the regulations, the documentations, your relationship with your supervisors, with the agency executives, your clients, far more complicated. You know, a lot of factors influence, you know, a lot of these situations that may influence a lot of your career experience. Again, I think it's very, very important to recognize that because of a lot of the experience of work-related stress, that they are subject to a lot of psychological and physical problems, as shown, you know, in this particular study. I mentioned about self-compassion. I think this is a critical concept. I began to look into more and more literature to see what we can do to enhance the level of self-compassion for this particular social worker, because I think that becomes a very adaptive mechanism to enhance their positive coping and psychological and physical well-being. So I think it's important to look at self-compassion. Okay, so there's the list of the reading and I want to acknowledge, you know, for this particular study, all the my participants, you know, in terms of their active contribution, many organizations, you know, who share, you know, their experience. I really want to thank all of you, you know, for joining together, you know, for this event. Again, the blue folder, we need more social workers. Okay. But I will continue to work on this topic, and I share with you that some upcoming events around this topic, because I think we need to continue the dialogue and conversation, you know, in order to find some joint solutions. You know. All right, thank you.